there. Welcome to Did I Talk Too Much, a Grit podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Grit's podcast titled Did I Talk Too Much? I'll be your host for today's episode. My name is Audrey, and today in the studio, I have with me the lovely Kaylee.
Hey, everyone.
So today we're going to talk about this idea of finding yourself as a woman, trying to figure out kind of the things that you like, who you want to be when you grow up, and how that's a really hard process, but something that's really worthwhile. First, I wanted to kind of start off with a disclaimer of like defining our terms. We want to recognize that our culture, it's really prevalent, this idea of like, you have to find yourself. And as Christians, I think we can acknowledge that we really find the best and most true fulfillment in Jesus, and in Christ. But we're kind of using the term find yourself less about like finding our soul identity and purpose, and more about like trying to figure out who God's created you to be, what your gifts are, what your personality is, what you're interested in even. And that can be something that we can just be confused by. So yeah, I just wanted to define those terms. Kaylee, do you have anything to add on to that?
I think it's super important and crucial to be finding yourself through your 20s, especially during our time right now, during like college and stuff. But I think just it's important to know like these are just our experiences throughout what we faced throughout, I guess, middle school to high school and now college. I feel like those are the most forming years that you really begin to find yourself. And sometimes it's later. But again, these are just our personal experiences, and we hope that they're relatable to you guys. But we really just want to be able to share with you and be super vulnerable, so that way we can help you out in any way.
Yeah, I love that. Obviously, kind of figuring out who you are, what you like, things like that. That's kind of a lifelong process, but I think it's especially something that you said kind of happens in teenage years and your 20s. And so I would love to take us back to like, what do you remember about that time, maybe in like middle school or elementary school, before you really had a great grasp on who you were? Yeah, I'd love to like talk about that a little bit.
I feel like in especially like elementary school, you kind of defined yourself as like what character you were on the playground.
Yeah.
Like if you were, for example, if you were Alex from Wizards of Waverly Place or something, I feel like that defined who you were. Or that was like more elementary school, whereas like in middle school, it was really like what you were wearing or what trends that you were able to fit into. And I feel like that kind of lingered into high school, but I feel like in high school, it started out to be a little more individual. And it was okay, because like you could find your group of people who liked your taste or like liked what you liked. And in middle school, I felt like, especially going to a school where there was 17 of us in my class, and like 17 to 27, depending on what school there was of us, it was really hard because there was only like 8 girls, and it was like you had to fit in with all the girls.
Did you have uniforms at your school?
Yes.
Yeah?
My uniforms are really fun. I like them. I miss them so much because they were so nice to roll out of bed and put them on. Literally. The only difference is if you wore like a pullover or your cardigan that day, or what color polo, but even then it wasn't that big of a deal. But in elementary and middle school, you didn't really have any freedom. You always had to wear a skirt and like a polo. You could wear shorts, but they were really ugly. But in high school is where like we kind of developed a little more style, because we could, in high school, we were finally allowed to paint our nails, which was like a big deal, because in elementary to middle, we could not have painted nails. In high school, you could have acrylics, like you could have anything, so that was fun. And then to personalize it, in junior year of high school, I actually started a small business called Scrunchie Society. And so I would make scrunchies to like match the holidays, because like we couldn't really wear like different things to spice it uniforms unless there was like a button. And so we would just wear scrunchies to kind of like identify us as like, oh, like I like Mickey Mouse, and then you put like a Mickey Mouse scrunchie on, or just something like cute to give it a pop of color.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah
I my school had uniforms too, and it was so funny how like self-expression was just about like what kind of cardigan you wore to school, or like we had a little bit more choice about what shoes you got to wear. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to make sure you had cool shoes because you could control the kind of shoes that you had. One thing for me that manifested pretty heavily before I like, I guess, found what I liked was kind of just going with the crowd, which I don't think it's always a bad thing to like go with the crowd and follow trends and things like that, and just like what other people like. I think you can find out a lot of cool things that way, but it felt sometimes like it didn't fit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I remember one thing that I felt like genuinely caused strife in my like relationships with other people was the youth group I went to. There was a certain kind of church girl style that you wanted to emulate, and like, and that went from like how you dressed to how you talked to how you, I don't know, even like how you related to God. It was so interesting, like all of these girls and myself included trying to imitate and outdo one another in maintaining this perfect image. I remember that taking notes was a big deal, like in sermons. Mm-hmm. And that you wanted to have the most aesthetic notes and like everybody would kind of look over each other's shoulders to try and see who could you know, like have the best penmanship and and things like that. It was so interesting. And in eighth grade, one of the girls that I'm still good friends with, she started closing her journal so people couldn't look.
Scandalous.
I know. And so we couldn't imitate her because everybody wanted to be her. And I thought that was so like, wow, it's crazy how we want to follow each other so much that like we're even changing the way that we take notes in church to fit a certain way. That was one way I saw like following the crowd. What about you?
I feel like that's so crazy. For me, I agree. I think following the crowd isn't a bad thing. I feel mm-hmm. like if you like the trend, then that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I think if you're doing it just because everyone else does it and you don't really like it, like for me, I don't really like the Boston clogs. I think they're cute mm-hmm. and I think other people can really pull them off, but I think if I were to wear them, I would not like them.
Yeah.
And so like that's for example. But on the other hand, like obviously I love bows. I think they're so cute and mm-hmm. I love wearing them. But yeah, I don't really think it's a bad thing. For me, I don't really remember an exact trend. I feel like it just depended on the year. Obviously, like, silly mm-hmm. bands were a really big thing, or if you did, like, Radio yeah. Loom. Clothing-wise, I feel like it's difficult to even know what the trend was because mm-hmm. I was always in my uniforms.
Right.
And if it was free dress, then it's, like, no one really cared what you wore. Half the time, the girls wore sweats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that, like, charm bracelets were, like, a thing for a while.
Yeah. What about, I'm trying to think about hobbies. Like, what was the popular thing to do?
I remember in middle school, I've always crocheted, like, dabbled. Aww. And I always just do small projects, but I remember I brought my crochet stuff to school to like do it during my recess because mm-hmm. I just didn't care to play kickball.
No.
And so I would do that, and then a bunch of girls were like, wait, what are you doing? And then I remember a bunch of girls started doing it after I did, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I a trendsetter? And I was so excited.
No, you are.
And it was short-lived in our seventh grade class, but yeah, that was like the only like main hobby that I think I saw throughout our school besides mm-hmm. like the usual sports or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
I'm trying to remember if there was like one hobby consistently. It changes, and I think your own perspective on what's cool changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because at my school, it was like my small school is really cool to do the musical. But now now hearing what other people think about, you know, musical theater, I'm like, oh, it maybe it was just like trendy in my school.
I think no, because in high it was like weird. In my middle school, I don't think had a play,
mm-hmm.
but in high school we had theater and mm-hmm. theater. Like if you did theater, you were like the coolest person ever.
Yeah,
just because like the theater kids like they really put their whole heart and soul in it. And I remember I helped like paint sets one time, and I was mm-hmm. like, this is so fun.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm a film kid now, so it kind of makes sense.
Okay, yeah,
but I never did like actual stuff for it. I just did it for service hours.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I thought it was cool. I feel like everyone always showed up. They had really good turnouts for the entire time. But I feel like now theater kids are looked at kind of weird.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to another kind of aspect I remember of, like, what life was like before really, like, understanding what I liked is I felt, like, constantly, like, I was always playing catch-up. I was always just trying to keep up with the latest thing, and, like, I distinctly remember, like, at my youth group, I don't know if you remember, like, the Kavu backpacks. Like, they're like a giant fanny pack, but they're on your back. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, so for our listeners, it is like,
like a sling backpack.
Yeah, a sling backpack. But that was the thing. It was the granola girl, like granola Christian girl thing. And I showed up to this mission trip and every other girl had one. And I was like, shoot, I need to go get a Kavu backpack. And then I showed up to the next church thing and no one was using their Kavu backpack. Everyone was using their North Face backpack. And it was just like frustrating. And it's bigger than like just backpacks, I promise. But just feeling like I have to keep up with everyone else. And also kind of other people are competition. I remember there was kind of this, even though we were all copying each other, we didn't want to look like we were copying each other, which is just really interesting. I think anthropologists need to go study middle school girls.
Yes.
But yeah. What do you think about that, Kaylee?
I think for me, I can't really remember. I definitely agree the whole, like, catch-up thing. Yeah. But I feel like that's even a thing, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, for me, throughout, like, high school, I felt like catching up was, like, oh, like, this person already got asked to homecoming. This person already got asked for this. And, like, how come I'm not doing that? Or, like, this person went and took their permit test. Like, you were constantly playing catch up with, like, what other girls were doing.
Right.
Or, like, what awards they got, kind of a thing. And, like, just envying them almost. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, even now, I think, like, I've definitely finally grown out of it, but it took a while for me to realize, especially coming to Biola where everyone's kind of getting engaged and married very, very young.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like, I've always been told, like, you don't have to get married until you're, like, 30, which I understood. But I think when I came to Biola, I was like, no, like, I have to get married super young. Like,
oh, yeah.
I just kind of, like, snapped into that mentality, which I thought was very weird. So I felt like my junior year, I was almost playing catch up of, like, I feel like I'm not going to be able to make friends after university, so I need to find my friends now. Or before I started dating my boyfriend, I was like, well, I don't have a boyfriend. How am I supposed to find, like, the love of my life and get married and have kids? And something I always go back to is I remember someone talking about the fact that, like, in the show Friends, it starts with them, like, already in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And by the time the show ends, like, they're barely in, like, their mid-30s. Like, halfway through the show, it's the episode where Rachel turns 30.
Yeah.
So, and, like, all of them turn 30.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like it's most important to, like, remember that you're never playing catch-up. It's just how your own life goes.
Exactly. Yeah. I was listening to my best friend's audio message today, and she's been dating her boyfriend for 5 years. And
wow.
Since eighth grade. And
what?
I have never had a boyfriend. And she's like, and it's just like bizarre.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to, even now it's still a struggle. Like, I have to really, like, train my brain to be like, no, like, I'm going to have a different story.
Exactly.
Than even people I'm really, really close to. And that's okay.
Exactly.
Like, I don't have to be on her timeline. She doesn't have to be on mine. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually recently had a friend who I've known since I was literally, like, two. Her mom and my mom were catching up, and her mom, like, she had moved out to Texas to, like, follow her love, and then she ended up moving back, like, a month later, just because everything didn't work out, and she was so excited last to talk to her, and she was just devastated, and she was just saying, like, everyone in life, like, I know people who are getting married, I know people who have kids, I know people who are gonna, like, she mentioned me and was like, she's gonna graduate college, like, she has a really good boyfriend, and I told my mom, I was like, you have to, like, we have to remind her, like, life is gonna take its own course, and that's all right. And plus, I was like, we're, for you, obviously it's different, but, like, I was like, we're 22. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's literally the start of our 20s. We're not in our mid-20s even. Like, we're not even close enough to 30. Like, we still have so many rest of, like, we have the rest of our lives to be making these mistakes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a good transition into just like talking about kind of how now we kind of have peace about a lot of these things. Like, we're not mm-hmm. seeing people as competition. And I would love to talk about just kind of the ways in which that happened, how we went from super insecure, like we have to catch up with everyone. And obviously this is a continual process, but I'd love to talk about like how we got from there to here. And like, you have your own style and interests and hobbies, and I have mine, and I don't feel pressured by you to like conform to your to your way of being. And obviously that took work, and there were definitely like a lot of ways that it happened, so I'd love to like unpack those with you.
Yeah.
So one that I think is pretty distinctive in our generation is just like so much media, like growing up absolutely surrounded by media. And I didn't have social media. I didn't get Instagram till I was like a junior in high school.
Oh, wow.
But I was on Pinterest. Don't worry. That's the only social media that matters.
Yeah.
So like growing up surrounded by media, I feel like you got to see just such a diversity and like ways of dressing, hobbies, interests, just like all the possibilities. I think that was a really, really interesting way to grow up, because it's like, yay, there's so many options, but also it's a little bit daunting.
Mm-hmm.
How do I want to define myself? It can be a little bit daunting. Yeah. But yeah, what do you have to say about that?
I got Instagram, I think, when I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
Because for me, I had already gotten my first phone. My first phone was an iPhone 4S.
Aww.
And I felt like I definitely wouldn't let my 10-year-old get Instagram, but mm-hmm. at the time it was like MySpace was a little different and Instagram was like an app, so I felt like it didn't feel so abnormal. Like,
yeah.
I felt like it was like, oh, you can keep control of it.
Yeah.
But it's for me, like, my parents never went through my phone, never checked it. Not mm-hmm. saying I did anything bad, because I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me with Instagram, I could literally see like anything I wanted. And mm-hmm. so like I remember seeing like there was this brand called Triangle. And it was, like, a bikini line. And I remember Kylie Jenner had one. And it was, like, it had, like, black borders and, like, pastel pink. And it was, like, everything in 2014.
Yes.
And so, or, like, posting your shopping bags. And I remember seeing that as, like, a 10-year-old and being, like, oh, like, I need to go shopping at a mall and, like, buy a bunch of things so I can, like, post the pictures and be, like, went shopping today. But I remember thinking, like, oh, like, I have to have a body like that. I'm, like, 10. And I was, like, I have to have a body like that so that way I can wear that, you know?
Mm.
Granted, I, like, never wanted to grow up, but for me, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to grow up and be that girl, which mm-hmm. I am. My 10-year-old self would be very proud of who I am now. I think it took a while for me to figure out that I had to live my own way and mm-hmm. not the way that I saw on social media.
Yeah.
Just because I definitely grew up with social media, like, had Snapchat, had everything. And it was, like, for sure a way to, like, keep up with my friends. But it was until this year that I had to stop following influencers that, like, I just thought were pretty and mm-hmm. start following influencers that, sure, I think are pretty, but that look like me or are similar to me.
Right.
Just to, like, give myself even a little more, like, self-confidence of, yeah. hey, like, if she's wearing that, like, it doesn't mean that I can't. Because mm-hmm. I know there's been, like, fashion trends of, like, is this an actual outfit or is it because Bella Hadid's wearing it?
Exactly.
And so I had to follow, like, those types of influencers and different things like that. So I think, like, you finally break out of that stigma when you start comparing yourself of, like, specifically what's on social media, because I think it's so easily accessible now.
Yeah.
Or especially while you're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once you snap out of it, it's, like, it's really easy.
Yeah. And it's not super helpful for, like, setting realistic standards of mm-hmm. what life is going to be like. I was looking back at some of my old Pinterest boards. And I think just, like, even, like, from when I was in eighth grade, of my expectation of what I thought maybe, like, what I thought high school was going to be like, I was like, oh, my gosh. It was just so vastly, like, different mm-hmm. And not really reasonable for me to totally think I could have all of these things yeah. all of the time. So yeah, it's like, it's funny because you like get surrounded by all these possibilities, but they're also not all attainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like wanting a body like Kylie Jenner when you're 10, like it's not
yeah
not super plausible. So Yeah, one thing I'd love to hear your opinion on, Kaylee, as a CMA major, I'd love to hear about, like, your experience with, like, TV and movies and shaping your understanding of, like, yourself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, I watch a lot of TV compared to movies. Mm-hmm. More recently, I've been diving more into movies, but I think for TV shows, I've always watched, like, sitcom television. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I loved Modern Family and, like, anyone like that, or like the show Ugly Betty with America Ferrera, New Girl. And so I think I kind of found myself in like the quirkiness of the women in like all of those shows, and I was like, oh, like they're silly, goofy like me kind of a thing. But I think I just kind of like took little bits of their personalities, especially like when Matthew Perry passed away, I was absolutely devastated. Uh-huh. I think I like give myself my somewhat quick wit to him, just because I feel like in screenwriting, at least specifically, I tend to write more more of a comedic style.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to finding myself, I definitely looked to them as fashion, like, icons, especially Friends, obviously.
Oh my gosh, Rachel the Green. Outfits on Friends are so good.
Yes, Rachel and Monica are all over my Pinterest board, and I absolutely adore them for that. Jessica Day sometimes, but that's more in, like, my little, when I want to dress like a preschool teacher.
And your tweet era.
But I definitely look to them, and I think when it comes to, like, movies, one movie that I always rewatch, which isn't, like, you shouldn't really praise this, because you shouldn't praise teen pregnancy, you should support them but not praise them, is Juno. I absolutely adore the movie Juno. It's like my comfort movie.
Yeah,
but I love her personality and her perseverance throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
And like knowing that she's gonna give up the baby at the end to like a good family. I just think she's absolutely amazing, and I love her who cares personality, especially when like she's pregnant at school, like she's just kind of like, okay, who cares, until one day she does. She tells Michael Cera's character Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker like, it's just such, it like checks out.
But she tells her love interest Polly Bleeker, like, well, you don't have to walk around carrying like a planet kind of a thing. And for me, I was just kind of like, oh, she's a girl. Like, I remember thinking, like, she's just like me. And, like, her room is filled with posters all over. And, like, that's how I was in middle school. And, like, even now, like, I have wall art all over. Very eclectic. And I think that's where I looked at in movies, too, of, like, their rooms. Like, the room in To All the Boys I Loved, Lara Jean's room in To All the Boys I Loved Before was, like, my favorite teenage bedroom I've ever seen.
It was beautiful, to be honest. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah. But I definitely just, like, admire women in film. We've talked about Little Women a million times on here.
Yeah.
I love Amy Marsh.
Yes.
But, yeah. So, I kind of just, like, look up to those women. And I just kind of take little bits of personalities with me and just added them to me. And I feel like every woman is just a collection of other women she's ever met, which I think is such a beautiful thing.
So, if a guy tells you you're not like other girls, he's just wrong. I'm sorry. I'm my mom and my aunts and my sisters and Kat Stratford from 10 Things I Hate About You all wrapped up into one person. Yeah, I think, like, I'm trying to think who were my characters that I, like, wanted to model. Kat Stratford from 10 Things I Hate About You. I was a freshman in high school, and I was just, like, watching her with just my eyes wide and like, in awe and wonder of her. Yeah, I loved her. I loved Lara Jean and To All the Boys I Loved Before, because I think she modeled such a sweet and a sensitive side of just, like, of being a girl. Yeah, those are the ones that are coming to my mind right now. Also, I wanted to be Annabeth from Percy Jackson.
It's okay. I wanted to be Katara from Avatar.
So, there's that. If you want to get to know a girl, ask her who her favorite characters were in middle school.
Yeah.
So, speaking of things like that, what were, like, some phases that you went through?
I will always be in my Hello Kitty phase.
Yes.
My most notable phase was my, like, fangirl phase. I even had a fangirl account. It was called OMFG Feels. I think it's still up on Instagram. I don't know.
Aww.
I did, like, fan edits with my friend Kiara. I was obsessed with Divergent, of course. I was obsessed with The Hunger Games. I feel like that was the best era of fangirls. And I just loved the actors in those movies. Those movies weren't really the best, but I just loved the actors. I think that was in, like, obviously The Fault in Our Stars was around that time.
Oh my gosh.
I loved that era. But in high school, I don't know. I think I was just, I went to an all-girls high school. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of like the time that I could be as loud as I wanted to. And I didn't really have to feel so shy anymore. Like, I felt I like in that. Middle school, I think we talked about it on the podcast of like being the example kid. Mm. I was definitely the example because I was always quiet in class and everything. But like in high school, I really found my voice. So I think what I remember most was like being more extroverted and throughout high school. Like I remember I was in ASB, obviously. So it was like my biggest like trait was like I was an ASB.
Okay, can you define that for our listeners? Because I feel like it's probably a California thing.
ASB is Associated Student Body. So it's just like student body or whatever your school is. It's called ASB. Yeah. I absolutely loved being an ASB and like just being a part of like my school spirit. So I feel like that was like my time during high school. Elementary me, I feel like elementary kids are kind of all the same. Like they're all under the same little boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what phases I went through. I went through a thrifted clothing phase. Mm-hmm. And I still thrift most of what I own. It's just, like, you could tell my stuff was thrifted. That makes sense.
In a good way or a bad way?
I just think some people can pull it off, and I just didn't. I don't think I pulled it off very well. I worked at a consignment store at the time. So I just amassed so much clothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would just dress pretty, like, I don't know. I also try to dress baggy, but I'm pretty petite. I'm, like, 5'2", so it just looked a little bit strange sometimes. So I feel like that was a phase where I just tried to dress, like, a skateboarder from the 90s. Like, so that was a phase I went through. In middle school, I had a Percy Jackson phase. I didn't go so far as, like, dress differently or anything like that. That was just something I thought about a lot and wrote about all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I definitely, like, I feel like probably ages 14 to, like, 16, I made music my personality. I do music? No. just my playlists. Like, I just had better taste than everyone.
Exactly. I felt like having a good taste in music or, like, was everything throughout high school.
No, literally.
You had to have known, like, Nirvana, but not, like, not like Smells Like Teen Spirit, but, like, a different song to make you more interesting.
Yes. And there were certain, like, there were certain bands you had to be into. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, like, in a couple years ago, like, liking Metallica was a flex. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was about.
Or even Kiss.
Yes, like, what? Mm-hmm. Now I listen, I'm like, I don't want to listen to this every time.
That's the thing, too, is, like, I think you were defined by, like, what music you listened to, because I remember the girls who, like, liked, what's his name? Lil Peep. And, like, when Lil Peep died, it was, like, a whole thing. And I was like, I hated his music. R.I.P. But, like, I hated his music. Or, I did not like Juice WRLD. Yes, or Juice WRLD. Or, like, all those rappers. It was, like, you were either that kind of girl or, like, you were the girl who listened to, like, Dua Lipa.
Like, or you were an Emma Chamberlain playlist girl. Like, Mac DeMarco and Claro.
I was that girl.
Yes, me too. I got so nostalgic for that era of music the other day. I was, like, listening to all the things. I was like, okay, low-key, that era popped off. Like, the 2018,
2019. Yeah, indie pandemic, indie music.
Indie, in air quotes, pop. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I still listen to all the music now.
Yeah.
Or even Biba Booby. Biba Doobie. There you go.
Okay. Moving on. Another thing I wanted to address was kind of in this, like, phase of life of, like, figuring out what we were like, what we wanted our personalities to be like, how we wanted to just, like, present ourselves to the world. I felt like other people's words just spoke really loud. Their voices just, like, rung really loudly. And from, like, a passing comment and, like, from, like, a girl you went to school with or even, like, maybe something that your, like, parents mention, it just, like, sticks. I don't know. It's just very profound when it happens. So I wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
I feel like for me, I definitely took what people, I feel like in a way I still care what people think about me.
Yeah.
And I think that just doesn't go away. I think for some people they're just
okay
able
sometimes.
To, yeah, it's okay. And I think you can take it as a note sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I constantly like worried about that a lot in high school, just because I think middle school for sure. But like I, at that point I was very oblivious still.
Yes.
But I think once high school hit, I was like, oh, like there's other women. And I remember this teacher telling us, like, if you compare yourself to other women, you're not a feminist. Like, she was very extreme. Wow. And she would just tell us, like, you have to remember comparison is a sin. Like, and I have a teacher professor now. If anyone is in CMA and you have Professor Hope, he always talks about how in the commandments, like, you can't covet your neighbor's wife. Yeah, and so that means like any of his goods or anything like that, and you shouldn't even think it mentally. Mm. Feel like you should want any of those things. So he constantly reminds us that like your gifts are for you, and like Audrey's gifts are for her. Mm-hmm. Like you can't be envious of like what someone else has, because God has something more for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's super important to like remember, and I feel like that's what I'm constantly reminding myself of now.
Yeah,
especially because after graduation, everyone's like, oh, I got this job or I did this. And it's like, okay, well, I work at a coffee shop still. Like, well, where's my gift kind of a thing?
Yeah.
And so I think that's like where I'm nervous to graduate of like finding that out. But I think of like, even now, I cared a lot about like what my mom and my sister thought. Especially if we went shopping, I was like, oh, they don't like my clothes. Granted, I had very different fashion senses than my mom and my sister still.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I was a little more insecure about like what they said. And so especially because my mom and my sister are very, very petite, they're like the same size, they're both very thin.
Okay.
And so I was just like, oh, like I don't really fit into like what they wear, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was constantly just like, well, I have to find my own way. And so I think I took what they said really personally, and I like made that like my confidence for the day. And like if they said something, that like really tore me down. And so I think as I got to college and like got to be able to find out my own style, or like it was just my roommate who saw my outfit first kind of a thing. And like Paris was the best first roommate I ever had. She was so sweet. I knew it was gonna be like an amazing day when Pear was like, oh, like I loved your outfit today. And aww. I was like, thank you. But like even then, like I just loved getting to wear like what I wanted, and I thought it was okay because I like didn't have to think about what other people thought. I was just like, you know what, everyone here has so much individuality at Biola. I feel like there is some sort of like you do have to dress up kind of here compared to like other college campuses, but I love everyone here because they have such unique styles. Like there's this girl in my class and she wears like very vintage clothing and she looks amazing in it. And so I'm like, I absolutely adore her because she can pull it off, and I think that's great. And I think like as I've gotten older, I've realized like, oh, I don't have to take those comments with like such force in me. Like I don't have to let it move me as badly, whereas like back then I would have like cried the whole day about it.
No, seriously. One thing that I had started to think of was like when I got like negative feedback from like people at school, or I don't know, I thought that the problem was that I was being like perceived in the first place. And I realized it's not the problem that like they can, you know, they can see me. It's the problem that I'm letting people who sometimes I don't really even respect that much like shape how I see myself. And that I don't think that's even like in line with biblical thinking. Letting someone who's not treating me as a sister in Christ have a louder voice about who I am than what God says about me, which is that he loves me and like treasures me and delights in me.
Exactly.
And so I've kind of learned more and more that the problem isn't that we take up space and that other people kind of like notice us, and maybe even have opinions about us. It's that like we can let their opinions and mean entirely too much, more than they're meant to mean. That's just what I thought of. Another thing that I thought like that was helpful in this process was just like learning how to like express yourself instead of hearing like shifting from, oh, I have to be like everyone else, to actually I just want to be Audrey. I want to be who God created Audrey to be. Yeah. And like one of the ways that that manifested for me was learning how to be different than my friends. It was going to be okay if we were different. Revisiting my whole youth group thing, my friendships are so much better with those girls when I'm not trying to compete with them, when they're doing what they're interested in and I'm doing what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And I like love what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I delight in like who God's made them to be and how, what gifts he's given them and how they present themselves to the world and how they express themselves. And they do the same for me. Like that has proven to be so, just so beautiful. And it inspired me way more to like lean into who God has created me to be than things like, you know, TV or media.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I definitely agree with everything you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of Divine Joy Randolph won for Best Supporting Actress from The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's an amazing movie. But she, when she goes on stage, she like thanks God. But like towards the end of her speech, she talks about how like she spent so much time trying to be so unique that all she had to do was be herself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's so important to remember that like you are unique in who you are because there's only one version of you.
Yeah.
And there's no other person in the entire world that looks like you or acts like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you may be similar to other people, but no one's ever the same. Even twins aren't exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're different people, different minds, different personalities, different hearts, different souls, you know, and all of us have it up to Jesus. But like, again, we have to be reminded. And something that I'll never, like, wrap my head around is that, like, we're created in God's image, but we're all so unique.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely gorgeous. Like, literally gives me chills every single time. Because I'm like, God has so many different aspects to him that he made us uniquely in his image.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I, like, just constantly remind myself that. And even, like, going off of, like, how much richer friendships can be once you stop comparing yourself.
Or seriously.
Like, even just remembering that, like, for me at least, once I felt like I grew up or, like, really became a woman was once I stopped comparing myself and realizing that I'm not in competition with other women around me.
Yes.
I finally was like, this is so fulfilling, and this is exactly what life is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to worry about what I wore to class. I wore it because I liked it. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if the person on the street sees me and is like, oh, I don't like her skirt. Well, tough luck. I like it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so I think just, like, realizing that just because someone else doesn't like something, you absolutely love it, then that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. You're doing things. You're not in competition with other women around you. The only person you have to please is the person in the mirror. That's it. And just, like, reminding yourself of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is so awesome. Yeah. I think, like, also, I think we feel this need to be different all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting that, like, when we find similarities, that shouldn't be something that, like, threatens our individuality or our uniqueness.
No.
It's just something that you get to connect about.
Yes.
Like, similarities is what brings the world together. And, like, I don't know, like, the goal isn't to be as unique as possible in any way. The goal is to be who God made you to be, and you're gonna get to meet all sorts of people who are similar and who are different than you, and that's gonna be it. And and you're gonna be you. Like, you don't have to be the most different, because it's actually really isolating if you're the most different than everyone else. But I love what you said, Kaylee. I think that goes straight into our question of, like, what advice would you give to a girl or a woman kind of going through this finding themselves process? And, like, the first thing I thought was important was, like, you're not in competition with, A, like, other women, and just, like, other people in general.
Exactly.
One way I feel like this is manifested, like, my kind of competitive spirit has been through social media because I don't really compare myself to my friends anymore because I kind of know their stories. I know their amazing qualities, and I also know their flaws.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, even talking to people, like, some of the things that they went through, I'm like, I don't want to be you.
Like, yeah.
It sounds hard to be you. It seems unnatural to be you instead of to be me.
Mm-hmm.
But like with, I don't know, like before coming to Biola, of course, like everybody who thinks they're going to meet each other at school will follow you. So yeah. Right now I follow like probably 50 girls that I don't actually know that well.
Yeah.
Who look like they have the most wonderful, perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And it sparks like a lot of competition and comparison.
Yeah.
What it's really interesting because I can't even assume that I know their story and I know their life. So, yeah. What do you have to say about that?
I feel the exact same way. I remember, especially because we were in COVID year, like, you kind of just followed everyone, anyone, because yeah. You didn't, like, go to campus. It's, yeah. like, that was the way of seeing people who are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already talked to Jenna about this, but I remember seeing her, and she lived in a house her freshman year.
Fine.
And I was like, oh, she lives in a house with, like, other girls. They have a swimming pool. They live, like, near enough to the beach. Like, they're having the time of their lives. Like, that's amazing. And then I talked with Jenna about it, and like the experiences were a lot different than what social media was showing.
Mm.
And that's like one thing that I have to say of like the advice that I would give is like their Instagram feed is fake.
Yeah.
Their Instagram feed is fake.
Yeah.
Like you don't really realize like what they went through during that time. Like maybe their trip was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And the pictures were the best part of it, mm-hmm. you know? And just remembering that you can't compare your experiences to theirs. Like I have never gone on a vacation to basically anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've never traveled to a different country, and mm-hmm. that's okay. And I see other people doing that over spring break and like going on trips over summer and like going to the Bahamas. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I could never imagine doing that. Like, I love to work. Like, mm-hmm. I can't help the fact that I don't like to take a day off, and that's more than fine.
Yeah.
But I think I just had to grow roots in myself.
Yeah.
I think growing your roots is really important, and like your foundation and like what you're doing in life. And so I think once you stop looking at someone's Instagram as an
accurate yeah. documentary of yes. someone's life. Absolutely not.
Yes. Once you stop doing that and you kind of just focus on your own stuff, especially like what you're posting, like
yeah.
you post what you want to, you're not mm-hmm. posting something. You're not posting when you're crying and screaming.
Yeah.
Like you're not really posting that either. So it's kind of like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, but also wear that outfit you really like. Doesn't matter if you're bloated that day, no one's gonna notice.
Mm-hmm.
I think just wearing what makes you happy is super important. Doesn't really matter what you think anyone else thinks. It's what you think.
Yeah.
That's more than okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. One thing I learned from my boyfriend is guys don't care what you wear on a first date. They care that you showed up.
Okay. I didn't know this.
They're really not paying attention. I remember I had this like really colorful skirt and like a white shirt, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, like I don't know, like I felt kind of nervous about it. And he was like, a guy does not care. Like we care that you showed up and that like you're interesting to talk to. But yeah, I think like just wear what you want to. And finally, like again, like I've mentioned during this podcast, is like stop comparing yourself to other women and stop feeling like you're in competition is what's most important.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, I think it's okay to look at women and admire them for mm-hmm. what they're doing in their lives. Like mm-hmm. during my internships, looking at my bosses who are more older than me, I've admired the way that they carry themselves, and I think it's great. Like I admire Lisa from Grit. Like the way she carries herself is phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I adore her. But I think you just can't see yourself as in competition with these people, because at the end of the day, the girls are who have you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you can talk to them, you can be still with them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's most absolutely important throughout life is, like, finding your tribe. And even if that's one friend, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you don't need that girl group. You just need a couple good friends who treat you well or in the way that you really want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that's all I would really tell anyone, especially, like, if I told my middle school self, I would tell mm-hmm. her exactly that.
Yeah. And, like, going off of, like, being in competition, like, feeling like you're in competition with every woman. If social media is, like, genuinely causing you to stumble, like,
mm-hmm.
feel free to consider taking it out of your life for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not even forever, just, like, a little bit. I remember it was wildly helpful for me beginning of freshman fall, because everyone's posting and everyone looks like they're having a fabulous time. Which, come to find out, Not true. No one is having an amazing time freshman fall, okay? If you do, that's annoying. And like, I stayed off of Instagram for like a solid 3 or 4 weeks because I found myself committing the sin of like jealousy and comparison just over and over and over again. And even though, you know, social media is fake, like this isn't real. Sometimes you just don't have the strength to preach that to yourself every time.
Yeah.
And so, genuinely, if that is something that has just been consistently a battle, like try and take action. Like, you don't have to be a slave to the sins of jealousy and comparison and envy. Recognize how harmful it is and repent and try and like do what you can to protect yourself from it. And also, if you're vulnerable with other women about it, like, you're going to find community there because every other girl will be like, same.
100%.
Yeah.
We've all gone through it.
And feel free to talk about it. And yeah. Well, I love this conversation today. I feel like I got to learn a lot, and this conversation itself was just a good process of like reflecting on the progress that I've made personally and like understanding who the kind of person that God's made me to be, and thinking about what ways that God is still developing that. So yeah, do you have any last words or thoughts?
No, I think you're kind of wrapping it up absolutely perfectly. I think this conversation was a great way to like not only get to know each other, but just be able to be there for other women in the community.
Yeah. We love you guys.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Did I Talk Too Much? If you enjoyed this week's episode, we would love to hear from you. You can leave a rating and a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening from. To make sure you don't miss an episode every other week, be sure to subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram as well to get the latest updates on upcoming events, new blogs, and question boxes where you have the chance to have your questions answered on the podcast. Our Instagram is @grit@biola. Our blog is linked in our Instagram bio where you can hear from our staff writers and read more about our mission. Thanks again for tuning in. The views expressed in this podcast may not necessarily represent the beliefs of Biola University or the Grit Editorial Board. All content is designed to inspire and challenge Grit listeners to explore their gifting, foster resilience, gain insight, and develop tenacity.